That song, that last song reminded me of just our walk maybe before Christ and the beginning of becoming a Christian toward when we mature. And at one point in our lives, we were chasing things of the world. Instead, we found his treasure in earthly pleasures. And in that song, through the course of it, you see the transition happen, the transformation happen from one who only thinks about worldly pleasures, worldly things, idols, so to speak, to one who finds his treasure in Christ. So I think that's a picture of what we see happening in the church at Thessalonica too. Scripture tells us that they turned from idols and turned to the one true living God. And so that's a transformation that that we have our hope in, you know, that we're not always going to be the way we are today, and because of Christ and his working in us, we can become more like him every day. So anyway, let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for another day that we can come together in your name. Thank you for this place that we can come to meet. Lord, we thank you for the family that's surrounded us today. Most of all, Lord, we just thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in our place, to pay the penalty for our sin that we couldn't pay ourselves, Lord, so that we could live a redeemed life, a transformed life, and so that we ultimately glorify you. So we just ask, Lord, as you use your word today, God, to continue to transform our minds, to think more like Christ, to behave more like Christ in all that we do and say, so that those that see us, those that interact with us, could see you, and that your name would be glorified. So we just ask that you just come be with us, and that your word would have its way in our hearts today. So again, we love you and we thank you, and just want to offer you our time and attention in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're back in the First Thessalonians. We're gonna probably get through verse 4 today. Hopefully, there's a lot of information, but I want to talk about election today, and it seems like a big intimidating subject, but it's not. It's really actually fairly simple. Might be kind of hard to understand at times, and but as we mature, it to me it becomes simpler to accept that we're elected, that I'm elected. So anyway, let me read 1 Thessalonians 1 through 10. I'm going to read out of my Bible, and that's the Legacy Standard, so it might sound a little different than yours. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. Silvanus is also Silas. I'll probably use Silas when I'm talking, just because it's easier. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father, knowing, brothers beloved by God, your election. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full assurance, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Spirit, or with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, and faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of an entrance we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Okay, so today, quickly I'm going to address the verse 2, thanks. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are giving thanks for this church in Thessalonica. And this is a new, young, new believers, young church. It's only a couple months old when Paul is writing this letter. And again, he's writing this letter to that church from Corinth. But he's giving thanks to God for the church. And last week we defined the church a little bit. And if you remember that, it was from 1 Peter 2:9. And the word church means, ecclesia is the Greek, and that means the called out ones. And we found out there that they're called out from darkness, right? But also called into his magnificent light. You remember that? So we're called out, believers are called out of darkness. The church is called out of darkness and called into his magnificent light. So so he's thanking God for the church, the called out ones. And he's mentioning them in his prayers, or they're mentioning them in their prayers and remembering them continually. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy, we find out in these first 10 verses, they have a really deep affection, a deep appreciation for this body of believers in Thessalonica. And it's described by them giving thanks at all times. So they're continually thanking them at all times. They're constantly, it says, constantly mentioning them in their prayers. And continually bringing to memory the virtues of this young, thriving church. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy here, we see them expressing their joy that is a result of the news that Timothy brought back to Corinth, that this church is continuing on as they were taught, and the virtues of this church are being that are being displayed are authentic. So it's not just that the church is growing, but they have a zeal for the gospel and it's affecting the whole region. So that's they were expressing their joy to this church. So the object of their thanks is what we want to be talking about today, because ultimately the object of their thanks is that they were elected, these believers were elected by God. Okay, so we're going to get there in a second, but the object of their thanks was the working of Christ in them, all right? And toward the end, we're going to find out that what the working of Christ is in them, but they're thanking God for Christ working in these believers, and they were working the work of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope, but those things are a result of the election. Okay, the work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope are resulting from the election. So what does election mean? The word simply means chosen, okay, to be chosen. That they're chosen. So first thoughts on election, well, let me say this. When we say election, we're referring to God choosing an individual for salvation, okay? So another word that we could use for election would be salvation. God chose each individual in that church for salvation, okay? So some of my thoughts on election as compared to the faith, the love and the hope mentioned is that the faith, the love, and the hope in a human perspective can vary to degrees depending on what's going on in our life, our circumstances, maybe our maturity, our obedience. You know, our faith can falter at times. Our love can wane at times. Our hope can grow dim at times. But the thing I wanted to contrast about our election is that it's sure. It's sure. Our election is sure. So election never changes. So before I get into all that, though, election, The church actually is called the elect several times in Scripture. So I'm not going to give you all of these, but Colossians, there's a number of references, especially in Paul's letters to the church as being the elect. So in Colossians 3:12, he says, as the elect of God, as the chosen of God, you are to behave this way. If you want to go look that up, you can. Romans 8:33, this is, I may get into this later, I'm not sure. 8:33, he says, who can bring an accusation against the elect, right? And then he goes on to say, who can separate us from the love of God? Remember that passage? So he's referring to the church there as the elect. So the church assembly, the called out ones, is referred to as the elect several times in Paul's letters. So the next point I want to make here is that election or salvation is completely the work of God. It's completely the work of God. And if we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 13, you'll get to see this. Actually, I'm going to read 12 too. It says, but as many as have received him, received salvation, received, accepted that gift of salvation, as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh. So they weren't born of anything we can do in the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. Okay? So believers are born of God. Our election comes solely from God. It's a work of God. Okay? Romans 9:15 through 16 speaks into that as well. Now, just because we are elected, chosen, doesn't mean that we don't have the responsibility to respond. And you see this in Thessalonians. You see that they, it's in verse 6 that they received the word. So they heard the gospel, they received it, okay? So they accepted the word. That's where the Holy Spirit interjected and gave them faith to believe, to receive. And then later on in verse 9, their second response was repentance. So they turned from idols to serve a living and true God. Okay? So that's our response to being chosen. So it's not just that we go through life and we're chosen and that's it. We have a response to make. Okay? And you'll see, maybe not all this week, and next week for sure, you're going to see what their response was, that it wasn't just receiving and repenting, but actually a whole ministry flourished from their part and what they were doing as a result of being chosen, okay? So, I wanted to give you this. This is something that I just thought of. I was studying, and we refer to the church, and oftentimes we think about the building. Sometimes we think about maybe the people or the denomination, those kinds of things. But what we really, really, really need to understand, I think, is the church, where the body of believers is an assembly of individuals that are called out. It's an assembly where if you're sitting here today and you're a believer in Christ, if you've received salvation and you know that, you are among an assembly. You're assembled together as individuals that have been called out of darkness by God. That was his act, okay? And you were chosen for salvation. So the church is an assembly of the called out ones, called out from darkness and into his marvelous light to proclaim his majesties, as Randy pointed out today in the call to worship. The assembly of individuals called out who were chosen for salvation. And that, to me, just gives it a more special meaning than just church, you know, because we can be a part of a club or an organization and really go no deeper than some core values and a mission statement, You know, this is something that is divine, that we've been called into. And to me, that just solidifies my faith even more, knowing that I didn't have much to do with it other than to respond when the Holy Spirit awakened my heart to God's mercy and grace. You know, had God not called me, I'd just be floundering. Had God not called us, we would just be floundering, hopeless. Okay, so it is a work of God, and it is His mercy and grace and His love for us. Okay, but that's the church, an assembly of individuals that are called out and chosen. All right, so election, my first point today that may or may not be above here, but it's on your bulletin, is election is a sure thing determined by God before creation. Okay, so it's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. If you go to 2 Thessalonians, I'm going to read this real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you as first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." So Paul again is giving thanks to God for them. This is the same church, just the second letter, for them being the first fruits, them being, God chose them as first fruits, and they're first fruits in that area. You know, some of us are first fruits in our family. You understand? First fruits are the first crop, the first of the crop that happens. So, but they were chosen for that. Those individuals in Thessalonica were chosen to be that first fruits of salvation. Another place we can read about the of our salvation, or of our election being determined by God, is Ephesians chapter 1. In this, so we have a temporal mindset, right? We think of things in terms of our lifespan, and this is probably the hard thing about election to get your head around, because let me read 3 and 4, Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. So what that's saying is, before creation, before God spoke into the universe to create, every believer was chosen. Every believer was elected at that point. And not just did He tip His hat to him, but he calls them holy and blameless. Now, I don't know if any of you think that you're holy and blameless, but I'm not, right? So that's another reinforcement that God did this work of not just election, but He makes me holy and blameless through the blood of Christ, okay? So we were chosen in Christ, chosen Him before the foundation of the world. So that's a sure thing. That's a sure thing. Matthew 25. Let's go back there and read that. There's a ton of scripture here, guys, and I don't mean to waylay you or give you too much to read. But if you're confused about election, these are ways that you can go up and really solidify what it means to be the elect or to be the chosen. So go to Matthew 25, verse 34. This is Jesus talking, okay? He's talking here about the judgment, the final judgment, okay? Verse 34, he says, "Then the king will say to those on his right," maybe I should go back. Yeah, let's go to 31. "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory This is the day of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, the sheep referring to believers, okay? And he will put the goats on his left hand. Goats are stubborn, cantankerous, especially the billy goats, right? They're prone to being mean, nasty, right? Sheep follow their shepherd. So he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king, this is verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So again, that is our election. That kingdom was established then, and as believers, we are chosen into that kingdom, okay? And then, of course, John 15:16. This is another, just an encouraging verse to have in your memory bank, and it's really easy. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, okay? This is Jesus telling his disciples, I chose you, you didn't choose me. And then he also says, and I appointed you to go, I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would abide, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So again, we see that in the church in Thessalonica, that they did go and they did bear fruit as a result of their election. Second point today is that election is purely God's love. It's purely from God's love for us, okay? Romans 5:8, some of you might have that memorized. Some of you might not, but it's another one to know, okay? So our election, our choosing is purely from God's love. Romans 5:8 tells us that, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. So even in our sinful, unregenerate state, and Christ died once for all. He doesn't die every time we sin. He doesn't come back and die every time someone's born. He died one time for all sin, okay? So that also tells us about our election. It was a one-time event, but it's from God's love. So God chose us for salvation, and he demonstrated that while we were still sinners, okay? So that's how much he loves us, that he knew we couldn't help ourselves. He knew we were still sinners, and yet Christ died for us. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 1:4 refers to the church as beloved by God, okay? He calls them beloved by God. And then he calls them the elect again. Ephesians 2:4 is another verse that tells us that about God's love in reference to our election. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ. For grace you have been saved. So we find here that again, but before Christ, we're dead in transgressions. What can dead people do? Nothing, right? They can't respond to anything. They can't speak. They can't move. They can't think. They're inanimate, okay? They're inanimate. But God, being rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive together in Christ Jesus. It was God who chose us to bring us alive, salvation. He gave us salvation, okay? It's by his grace. So God's love reveals his mercy toward the sinner. And that mercy is like the punishment not visited upon us the deserving, okay? We deserve to be punished, but he gives us mercy, so we don't get what we deserve, right? Instead, the sinner receives what he doesn't deserve, which is grace, salvation, or the choosing, the election, okay? So salvation, then, is paid for by Jesus Christ's broken body and poured out blood on the cross. Third, election requires faith, okay? Election requires faith. In verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 there, Paul, Silas, and Timothy preached God's word, the gospel, God's good news to the Thessalonican church, or the Thessalonians, before they were a church. It says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit with full assurance, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. They received the good word, okay? They received the good word, they heard the good word, and then they received the good word. They believed in it, okay? They believed in it. Verse 6 then says that they became imitators of us, having received that word. So first they had to hear it, and then they had to receive the word. We'll get into some of that, how they received it, I'm sure, next week. But and then it says that they turned from idols, verse 9. They heard the report about us, what kind of entrance we had with you, and how you turned from idols. So faith is us answering the call. This is our part, and the Holy Spirit gives us that understanding, that measure of faith. God says that He gives us each. The Scripture says that God gives us each a measure of faith, so we can believe. Okay. Now, Romans 10:17 says. Does anybody know what that says? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're not going to understand a person that does not have salvation, that is not a believer, until the Holy Spirit acts on the hearing of the gospel message, until the Holy Spirit acts on the word of God that's been presented to them, they can't hear. So our faith is born at that time. Our faith comes from when the Holy Spirit uses the hearing, when we hear that, and then He allows us to believe, okay? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And this is how we build faith. This is how our faith increases as well. The more we hear the Word of God, okay? The more we hear the Word of God. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. That's another good scripture to have in your memory as well. All right. Fourthly, election involves the Trinity. Election involves the Trinity. So this. So I'm going to go through God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, and I'll use me as an example. All right, so I was saved when God chose me before creation. Now, do I understand that? Not 100%, right? One day we're going to understand all these things when we are in heaven. But I don't understand that, but I believe it. But I believe it. The Son saved me, Jesus saved me when He died on the cross to pay for my sin, okay? When He died on the cross to pay for my sin. And what I try not to say is just that He died on the cross for my sin. I try to say that He died on the cross to pay for my sin, because I can't pay for my sin. I cannot pay the penalty for my sin. Only Jesus could. So I'd say that. I get in the habit of saying that because I want to remind myself that He paid my debt and that I had nothing to do with it, and it was purely His mercy and grace of why and how I'm chosen. Okay. So that was the Son's part, that He died on the cross to pay for my sin. and the sin of all believers. And then the Holy Spirit's part. This brings, the Holy Spirit brings it in. Because Christ didn't die just when I became alive or when I was born. You know, Christ died for my sin one time roughly 2,000 years ago. Okay? Died for all of our sin. And the Holy Spirit, though, this brings it into the present timeline. I was saved at the moment that he communicated the gospel. When the Holy Spirit gave my heart life to understand, okay? That's my present timeline of my choosing, my salvation. I was saved at the moment he communicated the gospel to me through hearing the word of God. He gave me faith. He gave me enough faith to believe. And at that moment, I became a son of God, not knowing what most of that meant, right? Confused, not sure in what happened, but I believed. I had enough faith to believe. I just knew that I couldn't save myself, and I needed to accept that gift of salvation, okay? Some of the response was to receive it and then to repent, all right? And fifth, the last point of about election, and I'm trying to make this simple, so I'm hoping that you understand. I'm hoping to give you some tools that you can go read this and chew on it so you can understand election better, because it is a deep topic, and sometimes it can be intimidating, but the scripture, I think, really does explain it fully to us. So election, the last thing about election is election changes life, okay? Election changes life. I mentioned earlier in Ephesians 2, we were dead in our sins and transgressions. When we're chosen, we're brought to life, and that's the act of God, okay? So that aspect there tells us that life is changing, that there's going to be a life-changing event. And so the question popped in my mind is, why was Paul so thankful and so convinced of these people's election, this church? Why? What convinced him to use the word election? Beloved by God, we give God thanks for your election. Because he went through all that in the first two verses there. He went through, because it's kind of a run. Paul run-on uses a lot of run-on sentences, right? And it's sometimes hard to you gotta cut things out to see what he was referring the thanks to. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering you without ceasing for your works of faith and labor of love and steadfast of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father. And then he's getting to the point, knowing, beloved brothers, your election. So he's giving thanks to God for the beloved brothers' election. He's giving thanks to God for that they were chosen for their salvation. Okay? Now, how does he know that they're saved? How does he know that they've been elected or that they're chosen? And he referred to them as the church in the first verse. You know, the church at to the church at Thessalonica, to the called out at Thessalonica. Paul had certain proof. He had a litmus test to look at, right? He had labored there. He had come there and shared the gospel, and this was largely a pagan culture. Now he went to the synagogue and presented the scriptures to the Jews first, but Among the believers here were a large number of devout Greeks, okay? So they weren't all Jewish. There was a large number of devout Greeks that were converted here as well. And so the idols that they worshipped were they're false, but they were sold out to these idols. You know, this is all they knew. And so then Paul sees this vast change in them. This vast change was reported to him. And so that is the litmus test. And it made me think about like life changes. And like say you can have, I should have had a demonstration here, but imagine that this lamp, these lamps are a vase, a clear vase that you can see into, all right? And I fill them with a clear liquid. What's a clear liquid? Water, okay? So I'm gonna put water in this one. I'm gonna put another clear liquid in this one, and they look the same, right? So that's kind of our humanness, right? We're going through the world, and we're serving our idols and whatever else. Even if you're a believer, you still look like the world. Our bodies, we dress the same. We have similarities. So going down the street without talking to someone, it's not always clear who is who, okay? So there has to be an evidence, because I could have clear water in this, and I could have rubbing alcohol in this, right? And I ask you to take a drink of them, and you're going to get a big surprise. This one would be refreshing, and this one you'd spit out, right? I was working on a tractor this weekend, and I had to take out a sediment bowl, and I've never seen gas so clear in my life, because I was thinking, man, that's water, right? And I was so convinced that it was water, because I had water in my fuel. I was so convinced that it was water that I dumped it out, and it was gas. It was just super clear gas. I had to do the test. I had to see, right? So that's what Paul was doing here and that's what was convinced him, is that he saw that litmus test. He saw those proofs that these people were truly chosen and truly converted and followers of Christ, okay? So he saw the change enacted by the Holy Spirit through the evidences. And we're going to get into them more next week, because I don't have time to do all this today. But people still look like people. They just behave differently, right? That brings up to mind the wheat and the tares, you know? The parable of the wheat and the tares. There's wheat. Tares is a plant that grows up, and it looks like wheat, right? And that parable was about the church. There's believers and unbelievers sitting in the same building, and we don't know the difference. The only way we can tell the difference is from evidences of the Spirit life in them, okay? The Spirit doing his work in them. So there's evidences of election, and that's going to be the last three things that I talk about, and I'm not going to go into depth because I'm out of time, all right? I want to respect your time. So evidences of election that Paul was looking at was their work of faith, okay? We'll get into this deeper next week. Their work of faith, their labor of love, and then their steadfastness of hope. Their steadfastness of hope. And so we'll get into these later. Steadfastness of hope has to do with them waiting on the returning Christ, okay? But they didn't just sit down and wait. They got busy doing the work of faith and the labor of love. They were laboring for Christ. They put their election, they put their choosing to work in their community, and they ended up impacting the whole region. Macedonia is the region that Thessalonica sits in, okay? And by the time Paul had got to Corinth 3 months later, Macedonia was talking about the church in Thessalonica. That's how they impacted their region. They got busy with their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope. Okay, so just to try and wrap it up and conclude today, you know, there's evidences we can look at. There's evidences that we should be trying to work in, that we are chosen, that we are God's elect, and I see him. I see him here, okay? Randy and I were talking about this morning. Kathy and I talked about this morning. For a little church, we have a lot going on. And not just have a lot going on, there's a lot of ministry that happens here, okay? There's work of faith happening, right? There's labor of love happening. There's steadfastness of hope happening. So I just say that to say that I'm thankful for you. I hope you're thankful for me. I mean, you know, when I first read this, I was like, gosh, I hope I'm the kind of Christian that somebody can say they're thankful that they know me, that they're around me, you know? Whatever, that's probably man-pleasing. But I'm thankful for this place. I'm thankful for the ministry that's going on here, because it's, when you read the first, when you read Thessalonians, it reminds me of this place, okay? So I just wanted to encourage you with that. And but there's more to come. You know, Paul said, even though you're doing these things, I want you to do it even more, right? He didn't say just, I'll just rest, kick back in your lazy chair and, you know, kick your legs up and take a nap. He said, do even more, you know, do even more. So we'll get into that next week in the coming weeks, but I hope that's encouraging to you. You guys encourage me. I know a lot of times we're running around and it doesn't look like we're making progress, but we are, okay? We are, and I'm just thankful for you guys. I'm thankful that we love each other. We get along. We meet together. We eat together, and we minister together, you know? So that's important, and that's evidence that we're God's elect, all right? All right, let me pray for you, and we'll sing one more song, okay? Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that we have examples like the Thessalonian church that we can look to, Lord, to check ourselves and just to use as an example of how we're to minister to the town around us, the region around us, God, and to each other as well. So we just thank you that every time we look into your word, there's something, God, that we can use to put on in our life. We can put off something, an old behavior, and we can put on a new Christ-like behavior. So we just thank you, God, that we have your word to look into, and that you truly are transforming us into the image of your Son. So again, Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day, and we just want to glorify you as we go from here. So we just want to praise you with one more song today, and just ask that you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll stand and sing one more.